Look for 7 at 7, local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7 at 7. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for takeaways with me, Heidi Fang. Welcome, everybody, to the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, and today it's an all-athletic podcast. And what do I mean by that? We're having both Raiders beat writers join me here. Vic Tafer comes on the show to talk about Raiders moves, things that have happened in the past 24 hours here. And just before I had Vic Tafer join me, I was joined by Tashawn Reed. So we're going to hear from both of the Raiders beat writers from The Athletic. They were kind enough to come on, give me some time, talk about Rodney Hudson and all the other moves that the Raiders have made and ones that they may make in free agency. So let's get into it. But before we do, I want to remind everybody first to hit subscribe wherever you're listening. And also, we are brought to you by the Las Vegas Review-Journal and presented to you by Blue Wire. All right, so let's get into it first with the hot news from Vic Tafer. First of all, Vic, happy to have you on. Great times, always good to see you. And wanted to get into some of this Raiders free agency and the moves that they've been doing. I think the one that's most perplexing to fans right now is releasing Rodney Hudson. It was kind of an unexpected thing to hear, but I'm still seeing conflicting reports out there. If you look at Lincoln Kennedy's Twitter, he's saying that he's hearing that Hudson wanted the release and there may be some more to it, and maybe he's not released is another thing I'm seeing, that it's not official. What can you tell us about what's going on with Rodney Hudson?
Well, he's definitely gone. I think it hasn't been officially announced yet, but I think he met with John Gruden yesterday, and I think it's a done deal. I think to me, it's kind of a mutual deal. I mean, Rodney definitely, I think, was frustrated. He's been here 6 years, had one winning season. I think some of the moves this offseason kind of made him curious. And I think the whole offensive line is a little frustrated with what's been going on. I think John Gruden asked him, most of them take pay cuts. Most of them have not done it. Trent Brown obviously wasn't happy, and he got traded for a fifth-round pick. Gabe Jackson also probably going to be released soon, but he hasn't been released. They want him to take a restructure down to $5 million from 9.6. He's not going to do that. Richie Incognito was cut. Denzel Good kind of got a low-ball offer. So I think you look at the Raiders, you know, John Gruden, when he came here a couple years ago, it was all about the offensive line. Let's build up the O-line. Like last year, the starting five made $51.4 million. And obviously didn't get the results you want for that kind of amount. They were good, but they weren't great. A lot of the guys were hurt pretty often. So I think looked at it like, am I getting the bang for my buck? $51 million should get me, you know, a top offense with a winning game that dominates the, you know, and runs out the clock. So I think he looked at maybe trying to do something different this year. I think Rodney Hudson's 32, so maybe John loves Rodney Hudson, but maybe not as strong a love as it was a couple of years ago, because you're obviously, you know, 32 is different than 30. And Rodney's still a great player. I think everyone will say that. And I'm sure he'll wind up in a really good team and be happy. But to me, it was kind of like, you look at all the dominoes kind of falling and you see his frustration. I think you could see, he said, you know what, if you let me void this guarantee, it's $3.5 million guarantee he got in February, I'll walk. And they're like, that's cool. And so they save $9 million in cash. I think the cap hit is not too bad. It's not great. It's like a $2 million cap hit, because you would have paid him, I think, 13.6. Now it's 12.1 off. So, again, though, I think – and also I'm babbling, but another key factor was that you know, Andre James is the guy who played one game for Rodney, I think, not two seasons ago. Did very well. They're very high on him. So I think they looked at it like, you know what, he's not Rodney Hudson, but we think he's really good at, like, one – 10th the price. So I think that was also a factor also.
And then there'll be a lot of younger guys there, probably maybe John Simpson, maybe they draft somebody. What do you think they do at an offensive tackle spot?
Well, I got Colton Miller. He'll get an extension pretty soon. I'm sure he's in his fourth year now. So he'll get a new deal. So he's a guy at left tackle. You mentioned John Simpson probably starts at one of the guard spots. I think Richie's back. I think Richie comes back for less money at the other guard spot. And you got Andre James at center. And so, to me, right tackle, I mean, I'm not sure what Denzel Good's market's going to be, but if it's not great, he can always come back. He played there last year a little bit, did well, so that's one option. Brandon Parker, yeah, I mean, people, I don't know about Brandon Parker. He's third round pick in 2018. Hasn't really panned out, but he's not bad. He can be a stopgap guy. So I think really the plan right now is probably the first round pick. I think, you know, you look at, they've addressed pass rushers. So now the first round pick, I think you can kind of pick a right tackle, get a guy who can play there for a long time. So that's what they're looking for, to do, I think, right now.
Okay, so with that news all settled, and I think we kind of covered that pretty well.
Right.
What about Kyle Long? He came down and visited the team, but then I saw on his Twitter last night, he puts an airplane, shoo, he left. So just in regards to that, do you think the Raiders, I mean, in some respects, it's kind of a gamble. He didn't really have full seasons under his belt in a few of them that he had played. And then, you know, he left the game 2019. So when you look at Kyle Long, is he somebody that you think the Raiders are serious about bringing into this offensive line?
Yeah, I think they were serious about it. And they probably still are. I think you mentioned he had a couple bad years, but he retired and his body's fresh, he's in great shape. I think he plays both guard and tackles and kind of, you can move him where you need him to be at. And obviously has a last name, you know, the Long name. My man means a lot in Raiders facility. Mark Davis is very excited about the opportunity. And you know, John Gruden loves all the old guys. So he was here for 2 days almost. He was here for like most of Monday and had a workout Tuesday morning. To me, the timing is funny because I know he's having lunch with the brass. Now it's just about the time the Rodney Hudson news broke. So I wonder if Kyle looked at his phone and was like, what the heck's going on here? It's like, I got to go to KC. I got to see what the Chiefs are saying. So he could be back, but I'm sure I'm not sure what he's looking for in terms of money, but I got to figure the Chiefs are probably offering less, but yeah, a chance to win a ring. I'm not sure the Raiders are quite there at this point. So to me, it's an interesting decision. And he might have other teams that are after him, but my guess is it'd be one of those two teams.
John Brown also this morning, big news here on a Wednesday for the Raiders. Nelly gone, John Brown in. They probably went this route, I'm thinking, because one, he's fast. Two, he had a decent season, I think, 2 seasons ago, 1,000-yard-plus season. And then when you look at the speed that he has, what do you think John Brown brings to this team, and where will he fit in amongst the wide receivers?
Yeah, John Brown's a good player. I think you mentioned he had a good year 2 years ago. Last year he had some injuries. The Bills went a different direction, but he's definitely a proven guy. He's 30 years old, definitely a speed guy, pretty good hands. Had some good years with the Cardinals back in the day. It cost a little more than Nelly did last year. Nelly was like $1 million last year. I think Brown's like 3.5, so paying a little bit more. But I think it gives him a little bit of security. I mean, it relieves some of the pressure off of Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards, who would have been the starters, I think. And now they still might be, but I think John Brown definitely will have a big role. Definitely, there's not so much pressure on Ruggs and Edwards.
Last thing I got to ask you, Vic, and I really appreciate you coming on with me today. I know you're very busy, and I certainly do appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
Yeah, well, just the last thing. There's all that talk still about Deshaun Watson and that maybe the Raiders are freeing up all this cap money for something big. Do you see anything with that rumor that Deshaun Watson would maybe come into the Raiders quarterback squad? There's so much talk with this. What do you think about it?
Well, I've learned to never say never with John Gruden. So that's the first thing I'll say. But I don't think so. I think if you look at the reports today about what the Bears offered for Russell Wilson, they offered 3 first-round picks and 2 starters, and the Seahawks said no. You got to figure Watson's price is probably higher because he's younger, a lot younger. That's a lot to give up for a team that I think is not, like I mentioned earlier, not quite in that Super Bowl track quite yet. They're kind of still in the rebuilding mode, kind of 8-8, trying to get better. So I'm going to give up 3 first-round picks and some starters for Russell Wilson. Plus, you got to figure out what Derek Carr had. Do you trade him somewhere else? Does Houston want Derek Carr? There's so many questions. I think they're not going to do it. I think they won't. To me, if they were going to make the jump, I mean, Russell Wilson, I mean, like, he had those lists of 4 teams, and the Raiders were on the list of 4 teams he wanted to go to if he was traded. So that's big. I mean, I'm sure John Gruden was really excited about that. So I think if they were going to jump, knowing he wanted to be there that badly, that would have been what they had jumped for. But I think they're fine. I think they're going to stay the course. Derek Carr's got 2 more years in his contract. It's a good contract. You look at others around the league, definitely at this point. So it was good last year. He got better with John Gruden in year 3. I know some fans are tired of Derek, but, I mean, I think he's been pretty good. So I think the offense should be fine. Again, the offensive line now is a question mark, but I think Derek Carr is the guy for next season.
All right, that was Vic Tafer. And now we're going to hear from his other half over at The Athletic. That's Tashawn Reed. He's going to talk with me about Yannick Ngakoue and that signing for the Raiders. So let's get into it here with Tashawn. We are talking on a Tuesday. So Monday, of course, the big news comes down that the Raiders have reached an agreement with Yannick Ngakoue, a defensive end who was a former Jaguar, spent a little time with the Vikings, but just didn't produce. So they traded him to the Ravens last year. When you look at, first of all, just the player that he is, does he still have it in the tank, this Pro Bowl type of defensive end that the Raiders really desperately need to acquire for some pass rush?
I think so. I mean, even with, you know, kind of the crazy year he had last year, getting traded twice, he still had 8 sacks. You know, he didn't have as much overall production as he usually does, but I think you would expect that when, you know, especially in a year like last year with COVID and everything going on, and it made the transitions more difficult. He was still a pretty productive player, and he has a really strong track record so far in his career. You know, he's reunited with Gus Bradley, who was the head coach of the Jaguars during part of his career there. So he has some familiarity in the Raiders' new defensive scheme. You know, he's a young player, you know, so it's possible that he can continue to improve from here so far moving forward, even from where he's at. And I think, you know, while, you know, $13 million, you know, it's a nice chunk of change, given that it's only a 2-year deal, it's not like the Raiders tied themselves to him long term if things don't work out. So it's a move that has a lot of upside, but also it's not a ton of risk when you just consider, you know, some of the other guys across the league who've gotten, you know, 3- and 4-year deals.
So a lot of people are saying with Ngakoue coming to the Raiders, that means that Clelin Ferrell will likely move more on to the inside. Do you see that happening? And do you think that that's a better adjustment for Clelin Ferrell?
It could happen. I mean, that's something that I think we saw from him last year. You know, it wasn't like he predominantly played inside, but he would move inside on passing down sometimes to give them, you know, somebody who's more skilled as a pass rusher on the outside. You know, I think it's one of two ways it can go. I mean, they can, you know, choose to maximize the pass rush by starting Ngakoue and Crosby on the outside and moving Ferrell inside. But the issue there is neither Ngakoue or Crosby are good run defenders. They might be average or a little bit below average, but they may have some issues in the run game if they start both of those guys on the outside. Both of them kind of are more of the speed rusher type. So I think it would, you know, it's also an option to keep Ferrell on the outside to kind of set the edge in the running game and you know, kind of secure the boundary a little bit. And then you can have the other side be, you know, a rotation between Ngakoue and Crosby. So I think either approach works. And I think, you know, it's probably going to end up being a mix of the two, right? Like, you don't have to stick to one defensive line rotation the entire season, you know, and I'm sure it could change. You know, if they're going against a team that isn't particularly strong against the run, you know, then maybe they'll be fine, you know, putting Ngakoue and Crosby outside on the edge a little bit more. And so I think this just overall provides them more defensive versatility. You know, they aren't as reliant on Crosby really being the only guy on the roster who's a consistent bendy kind of speed rusher off the edge. You know, now they have a couple guys and they can get a little bit more creative with some of their rotations. And I'm sure Rob Marinelli is already thinking about different ways he can use the guys. But I think with Ferrell, you know, he has the size now. He's gotten a little bit bigger than when he first got into the league. So he definitely has the size to play inside. I just don't know if, you know, it's always going to be in their best interest to have two speed rushers on the outside. I think that might make them a little bit weaker against the run than people realize.
So I just wanted to quickly read some comments before we move on here from Spock talking about Yannick Ngakoue. I put up a post for us as we are recording today, and I wanted to get some of Raider Nation's thoughts on this. So I'm just going to read a few of them that we got and see what you think on these. Martin Beltran says he was a little worried once he started reading all the hate comments on Twitter about Yannick, but the big man Calais Campbell put all those haters to rest when he let Raider Nation know who they picked up in Yannick. Calais Campbell put up a tweet saying that the Raiders got a real one. And then he quote retweeted some next gen stats that show Yannick only trails Aaron Donald in pressures in since entering the NFL in 2016 and has generated more pressures than any Raiders player in the last 4 seasons. So it notes how much pressure Khalil Mack had, Arden Key had, Max Crosby had, and Crosby again. So that going from 2017 to 2020. So good stuff there from Calais Campbell. A couple of the other ones that were said was that they feel pretty good about it. It should make the D-line more formidable. That coming from Severiano del Castillo Galvan. Hope I got that all right. Because he actually works with us, but everyone calls him Sev. Now I know why. Squirp XL says Christmas is coming twice this year. LV Raider Marcus says he thinks he will bring in a force on the edge. IMO, they need to add a stud DT as well. So Tashawn, my question to you there is, we know that they got rid of Malik Collins. Is there somebody out there that you think can really help solidify the line at defensive tackle?
I'm actually of the mindset that they should just bring back Jonathan Hankins, re-sign him. He's a free agent right now. Bring him back to start at one of those defensive tackle spots, and then they have some other options, I think, at defensive tackle. You know, whether it's relying on Hurst, who started games in his career, and mixing him in with David Irvin, who they re-signed this offseason. I know Irvin is, you know, a defensive end by trade, but he's 6'7", 290 pounds. So he shouldn't have much of an issue playing inside. So they could opt to just go with the rotation of Hurst and Irvin. But even if they do that, I think it would be smart to look to add a defensive tackle through the draft. This year, you know, it's not a super deep defensive tackle class, but there's some guys in those first two rounds they could get either a 17th overall or 48th overall where they're picking in the second round that could help solidify that defensive tackle rotation. So honestly, I think, you know, between, you know, the times that they may move Pharrell inside, having Hankins, Hurst and Irvin back and then drafting a guy, I think they should be set at defensive tackle. I think they have some other needs in free agency that they need to address. And so I don't know if spending big money on a defensive tackle is really in their best interest right now, given, you know, they have some other routes to kind of fill that need.
Well, as we talk here again on a Tuesday, I just want to make that clear just in case something happens overnight before this post on Wednesday morning. We are talking about the defense and possible free agent acquisitions and some that the Raiders have already made. But with Gus Bradley there, we talked about his relationship with Yannick Ngakoue. Do you think that there's a chance that Gus Bradley tries to bring back some other veteran players that he worked with? For instance, the name I'm getting at, Richard Sherman. Would he be somebody that you think the Raiders may look at in the next wave of signings or not?
I wouldn't, but I think they might. We had that whole podcast situation where Gruden and Chris Collinsworth and Richard Sherman were on the podcast, and there was all kind of tampering going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think with the Raiders, drafting Trayvon Mullen in the second round and then spending the 19th overall pick on Damon Arnett, I feel like it'd be a pretty big red flag if they're already moving Arnett to slot corner in year two. You know, I don't think you draft a guy 19th overall if you think he's going to be a slot corner. And if you sign somebody like Richard Sherman, he's coming in to start, and you're not benching Trayvon Mullen, so that's where you would have to put Arnett to keep him in the starting rotation. So I think they'd actually be better off targeting a slot cornerback on the market. And there's plenty of those guys out there. And there's actually one that also has experience working with Gus Bradley, Casey Hayward, who the Chargers just released recently. He played nickelback for the Chargers under Gus Bradley the last few years. And he'd be familiar with the scheme. He's a veteran guy. He shouldn't cost that much money. He's a little bit younger than Richard Sherman, who's getting up there a bit. And so I think adding somebody like that would actually be a better move for them.
I'm going to go ahead right here, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk all about the offense and who may be a good fit for the Raiders and free agency. Stay tuned right here on the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. Please check out our new 7 at 7 newscast weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Get every bit of local news you need in 7 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. All right, coming back here with Tashawn Reed from The Athletic joining me, the Raiders beat writer there. Tashawn, again, thank you for coming on the show. But now I want to start picking your brain about some of the offensive players that are a possibility, positions that we think could help the Raiders move maybe some cap space. One of those names that's been talked about a lot is Marcus Mariota. What do they do with him being such a high-priced backup? I think he'll be due about $10.7 million this year. Maybe I've heard even upwards of a little more with guaranteed money. But with Marcus Mariota being a backup for Derek Carr right now, they haven't really been able to move him. Why do you think that is? And do you think that they are actually trying to kind of shop Marcus Mariota to trade him and free up some room?
Yeah, I think the thing with Marcus is it's not necessarily an indictment against him as a player, but nobody's paying a backup quarterback, you know, almost $11 million. And I don't think Marcus showed enough in his one start last season for a team to be comfortable signing up for him to be their starter. You know, even though we see some other guys across the league, like, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I know he got around a $10 million deal, but, you know, he was actually a starter for a lot of the season on the team that almost made the playoffs last season. So it's a little bit or a vast different situation there. So I think the Raiders are going to have to end up just releasing Mariota unless, you know, he wants to come back on a restructured deal for a smaller amount. But you would think that he would prefer to just test the market and see what he can get out there instead of restructuring his deal. And, you know, I don't think there's any scenario in which they keep him at that you know, over $10 million mark to be the backup behind Derek Carr. I mean, it's clear at this point that Carr's a quarterback. You know, Mariota isn't going to take his job. Or, you know, and I think that was the intention of, you know, when you signed him, it was to give some competition and push Carr. And then if somehow he beat out Carr, that's why he had all those incentives in there to see if, you know, he could perform well if he takes over at the starter. But I think it's pretty clear that's not happening at this point. So I think cutting him and, you know, freeing up that cap space, you know, whether they're going to use it on another big signing or just having it for flexibility later in the season, I don't think he's going to be on the roster in 2021.
We know that the Raiders are likely going to invest more so on the defense in the coming season. So, Tashawn, if you had to project what they do there at safety or in the secondary, what do you think is the best bet for the Raiders? What's the best course of action for them?
I think free safety position is a position where they have to add a veteran through free agency. Like the secondary right now is extremely young. You know, like I mentioned earlier, the two young cornerbacks, you know, Jonathan Abram is still a young player. So I really think at that free safety and that nickelback position, they need to add two veterans there to kind of solidify the secondary, which, you know, I know they get a lot kind of a pass last year because the pass rush was so bad, but they also had plenty of issues back there covering guys. So I think somebody like Anthony Harris, who's still out there at this moment at free safety, will be a strong option. You know, he's played in a single high safety system in a cover three system in his career and covered from sides on the sideline, which is what you need next to Jonathan Abram, who's going to be spending more time in the box in this new scheme. But even if they don't get a top flight guy like that, there are plenty of veteran options later on. Ricardo Allen, who was released by the Falcons, would be a good option. The Falcons also use a single high safety scheme. Kenny Vaccaro coming from the Titans, they use a lot of cover three, so that'd be another scheme fit. So there's some cheaper guys too, some veteran guys who would be an upgrade over what they had last year at that free safety position.
You talked a little bit about that slot corner spot a couple of times, and the name that we haven't brought up is that LaMarcus Joyner has moved on as well. The Raiders released him from the contract that they had with him that freed up about $9 million worth of cap space. In his position, I think you said earlier that you're looking at Damon Arnette to kind of come into that position more, into that role. How much do you think he's developed to be able to do that full-time? And maybe is last year just kind of reflective on one, not having an off season because of COVID and all, he didn't get that work in before training camp, and two, having the amount of injuries that he had from being concussed to having his hand in cast and all those kinds of things that, you know, he had to deal with through his first year. Have we been a little hard on Damon Arnette? I don't know. I think I have.
Yeah, well, I actually think they should keep him outside. I was just saying, like, if they do, you know, sign somebody like Richard Sherman, a veteran on the outside, they would have to move him inside because you're not sticking the 19th overall pick on the bench. But I do think, you know, he did kind of get a bad rap last year. I mean, he broke his hand or broke his thumb in training camp and then re-injured it early in the season. And then when he got back on the field, he had back-to-back concussions and neck injuries, and he just never really got a groove. Now, when he was out there, he did struggle. You know, he gave up one of the highest completion percentages in the league for a corner, so you can't just ignore that either. Even when he was healthy, never really was healthy, but when he was out there, he didn't play that well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a rookie. It happens, and it doesn't necessarily mean that he's a bust already, but, you know, I do think he is a little bit of an odd fit for Gus Bradley's system. You know, it's predicated on like I said, cover three, a lot of zone coverage. And Arnett is really a press man guy. He's mm-hmm. played that since college. You know, Mullen is a little bit more versatile, but I could see him, you know, having some struggles in year one in that system. So maybe that is what they do, is move him to nickel and, you know, allow him to ease into it a little bit more in the second year before giving another shot on the outside in the third year. You know, they don't necessarily have to permanently move him inside if they go that route. I just think, you know, giving him another year on the outside to see what you have, you know, given how high you drafted him is the best approach, and adding a veteran slot cornerback like a Casey Hayward or Mike Hilton or somebody else that's out there on the market to replace Joyner, you know, would be the best move. But, you know, Arnett, he did play, he played some nickel at Ohio State, so he wouldn't be completely foreign to the position. I just don't think that's, you know, within his long-term plans when you draft the guy that high.
I have a couple more questions for you, and I really appreciate the time. Another name that's been buzzing around with the Raiders lately in talks is Melvin Ingram. Do you see that the Raiders bring in Melvin Ingram to this team?
No, I think they're set when it comes to adding a veteran pass rusher. I think Yannick pretty much shores that up for them. I don't see them spending a significant amount of money on another one.
Yeah.
I think they could still use, you know, another pass rusher through the draft, you know, maybe in the later, not high rounds, but, you know, once you get into those mid rounds, if they like a guy to give them some more depth there or some long-term upside, I don't think that'd be a bad move, but I think they're pretty much set there. They still have Carl Nassib on the roster, paying him a lot of money. So if they keep him on the team, he's going to be in a rotation somehow. You got to use him. So I think between that and Crosby and Pharrell and Irving being able to play outside, I think they should be set there.
Okay, so my last question for you is a draft projection. At the 17 spot, do you think that the Raiders will go offensive or defensive there? And is there any name that you want to throw out that you think they may go after?
If they don't, it depends what they don't address, you know, in free agency, of course.
Right.
It's looking like of their needs, right tackle is the least likely to be addressed through free agency just because there's so few options there. So that would be the position inside of the ball offense. So I think they should go with the 17th overall pick. You know, there's a few first round tackle prospects that can play right tackle. It's just a matter of who falls there. But I think Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State would be a good option. Probably ahead of him, Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern. I just don't know if he's going to fall all the way to 17. You know, it just kind of depends who drops down to them there. But there should be a couple guys or maybe one guy on the board that could get at 17 that could step in and be a starter year one. You know, and then they could go and get a veteran tackle to kind of help, you know, ease them in a little bit and have a backup option if it doesn't go so well year one.
That'll do it for this free agency update here on a Wednesday. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, with the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. And make sure to hit subscribe because we have all the other podcasts happening all throughout the week. And we will have you up to date with everything, every move the Raiders make, everything that you hear, all the rumors. You can catch it 3 days a week here. So hit subscribe. Also, don't forget to check out VegasNation.com and download the Vegas Nation app for all of your latest Raiders news. For Vic Tafer, also Deshaun Reed, give us all a follow on Twitter at Deshaun Reed, at Vic Tafer, and I'm at Heidi Fang. Thank you everybody so much for listening. I'll be back next week. Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.